So this morning, we are continuing a series called Understanding the Anointing. Now, we said anointing is yoke destroying. It is burden removing. Now, anointing means to be smeared on, marked. You are marked by God. If you've ever worked on automobiles or something that grease and bearings or something like that, with that black grease that's thick, it gets on you. And the thing about it is it rubs off on everything and it stays on you. It's amazing. It will stay on. I mean, there's an old statement. My daddy used to say, I'll put something on you that Ajax won't take off. If you know what that means, you understand. If you don't, we'll talk later. But, you know, that was something that you could put on you that would get on you, and it would take several times of washing trying to get it off. I'm going to tell you something. When God touches you, when the anointing touches you, he puts on you something that the devil can't take off. He can try all day long. He can bring up all your past. He can show you why you've missed it all your life, what people said about you, what you've done, what accusations were against you, where you don't feel like you're worth anything. But when you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, he'll take the nothing that you thought you were and show you why you were created. And so God put something on you that sin can't touch. Oh, see, now you're up here. You're getting up here with me. All right, thank you. And so in all of this, God has anointed your life, and there is nothing that can take it away. The church for too long has preached a gospel that give your life to Jesus, and he'll paint up this old sinner. He'll put new curtains on the house. He'll make it look presentable. He'll patch up the holes. But that is not what God does. That's not what coming to Jesus does. What coming to Jesus does is you were a classic from the beginning. God had a design for you, a plan for you from the very foundation before the world was ever created. He said he knew you by name. He had a purpose for you, and that purpose was perfect. It was perfect. And the moment sin came into the world, it corrupted something that was perfect. Have you ever seen an old classic sit outside and get rust on it?
Yes.
See, God did not just kind of put paint on the old rusted car. He restored the car to its original value, to its original creation.
Hallelujah.
See, so when you gave your life to Jesus, God didn't throw on some new paint and some rust stop. What he did was get you back to the place of creation, to what you were created for. So you didn't live in this world worthless. You were created perfect. And now we're just getting to a point when we give our life to Jesus, the anointing comes on us, and all of a sudden we can see clearly. Now we can see the purpose of what we were created for. Your paint hasn't been stripped. And this is the thing. There's some things that when it comes to creating a car or redoing, sometimes there's parts that are out of stock. So you have to fabricate or do something else. Can I tell you something? God is original creator. There is no out of stock parts. So everything you needed, he has. You were created perfect. You're not, I don't like this mentality of we're a sinner saved by grace and we sit here. Yes, be thankful. Yes, be thankful for the cross. Yes, have a grateful heart. Yes, love the Lord with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. Be thankful. But we don't have to be this. We're not worthy. You are created worthy. God created you worthy. Have you ever traveled the world and you brought your American plug-ins into a European country? Yeah, it's different, hon. Don't do that. Trust me. I have blown things. And then one time, because I like tea, right? And I like coffee and I like these things. And so I brought this little thing it's like an iron. You know what I'm talking about? A little swirly thing. You plug it in, it heats up real hot, and it boils your water for you, and it's a traveling hot cup maker. And so I need it for my tea. So when I was traveling, I plugged it in. and I put it in the water. It started boiling really quick. Like, I mean, that rod turned fire red. And I started looking and be like, I've never seen it look like this. And then all of a sudden, a lot of sparks start shooting out of the wall. And I snatch the cord and unplug it. And I just hold that thing because I know it's hot. And I'm here like, you know, that thing, it blew some breakers. It messed some things up. They had thankfully had it fixed pretty quickly. But my point is there some things that were never meant to plug in. And there's some mentalities that if you hold on to, it'll flip some breakers. It won't allow some things to operate in your life that should be operating because you are holding on to stinking thinking. You're holding on to things that the voltage that God has made you to operate on, it can't handle it. So to have the right things operating into your life, you've got to get plugged into the anointing. You've got to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. And it's not some sinner just straggling along. God never has a conversation with Jesus about you and just says, well, you know, look at Jim. Jesus, I just don't even know if Jim's going to make it today. Look at him. He's already cussed like a sailor twice. Stubbed his toe, went nuts, stepped on a Lego, screamed at its kids. Traffic got bad. He did all this stuff. I just don't think Jim can continue. God's never had a conversation about you like that. And the enemy, now the enemy may have a conversation about you like that, but the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our defender. And so when the enemy comes in to God telling all our problems, or maybe even into your own mind, that you're not worthy, this is who you are. You've been this way your whole life. You were born on the wrong side of the track. You don't look right, talk right, add up, and look at everybody that surrounds you. They're all better than you. They think faster than you. They get the promotions when you didn't. Maybe whatever the enemy speaks the lies of Satan into your ear, the Father, you have an advocate. You have someone speaking on your behalf. You have a defender that says they are covered by the blood of Jesus. They operate in the anointing. They are smeared on.
Yeah.
Oh. And we've got to start seeing ourselves and plugging into the right voltage. Now, I'm not going to continue going over some of the things we looked at, but let's look at Luke chapter 10. The church is going to be a church that's more powerful than the one Jesus left. That's what the word says. And I mean, the church was doing pretty good. He was operating miracles, signs, and wonders. But he duplicated himself. It's amazing. And this is what I love too. This is what I love. Jesus said, it's important that I go. Most Christians haven't believed that for over 2,000 years. They all, if Jesus was here, oh, if he would just show up in the flesh, if I could just learn from him like the disciples, my life would just be better. But Jesus didn't believe that because he purposely said, he said, and I believe him, it's important that I leave so that I could leave a comforter. The Holy Spirit is so important that I go that you can have. So as a church, we have to believe that. It's, we have something that we had to have. We had to have the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that there's going to be a church that operates in the Spirit like never before. That operates in the things of God like never before. We're not longing for the days of Jesus to walk in the flesh beside us, but we're operating in the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Recognizing the anointing that without him we are nothing, but with him we are everything. That without him we'll be defeated, but with him no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Luke chapter 10 and verse 9, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation, so it may look a little different if you're reading out of the King James or Amplified or something else. But it says, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom, the enemy, the defeated one. You will trample upon every demon, and before you shall overcome every power, Satan's possession. Now, absolute nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. However, your real source of joy isn't the mere that these spirits are submitted under your authority. I like that. Because the disciples were excited that they found out they could pray for the sick and they recover. They found out that when they would cast out devils, it would listen to them. And they got all excited about it. Look at all this stuff. Jesus, we can do the same things you do. It's amazing. And they were excited and they were happy about that. And what did the Lord respond? He said, don't get so joy. Your joy doesn't come from operating in the kingdom like this. This is not where your joy comes from. All right, now let's keep reading. However, your source of joy isn't merely the spirit submitted unto your authority, but your names are written in the journals of heaven that you may belong to God's kingdom. That's where the joy comes from. This is the true source of your authority. So, and this has been preached like this to me. Your joy comes from the name, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And your joy comes because you're going to heaven. That's not what this is saying. It's saying your joy comes because you recognize the true source of your authority. Your true source of your authority comes from that you are a citizen of heaven. The day that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the old you died and passed away. And the Bible says, behold, all things have been made new. You have been back to the original creation, the original design. And that's where your joy comes from. It's not that you die and go to heaven, but that you operate in kingdom principles. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you operate as heaven on earth. Oh, that's good teaching. So many people are waiting to operate like they're in heaven when they get to heaven. But God has said, this is what we should start doing now, bringing heaven down to earth. Oh, so let's look at Esther. We ain't going to turn there because there's a lot to read. But Esther, now most of us know the story about Esther, or we've seen movies, or we've done something, or we watch VeggieTales, and we kind of have an understanding of Esther. Now, Esther married the king. Well, first of all, the king's wife died. Talk about oppression. Why did the king's wife die? If you watched VeggieTales, it's because he said, make me a sandwich, and she didn't, and because it was late night. But if you read the Bible... If you read the Bible, you would know that the king requested her presence late at night and she refused. And he killed her. I'm not laughing because he killed her. That's terrible. But what I'm laughing at is, oh, Heavenly Father, that was oppression.
Yeah.
That's horrible. And so the king's wife dies, and he's looking for a new king, or new king, new queen. And he finds Esther. Now, Esther is of what nationality? She's a Jew. Now, this is important for the story. Somebody here is thinking, like, why do you have to point out the nationality? It's important to the story. Give me a moment. We're getting there. It's important to the story. So then we have Haman. Haman, who wants to kill the Jews. Why does he want to wipe out all the Jews? Because he can't get... What's his name?
Mordecai.
He can't get Mordecai to bow down and worship him. Because I think we have some Hamans and some job sites. You may work with some Hamans. Somebody gets a little bit of authority. They're your boss or they're placed over you and they think they're Lord to everybody. And so what happened to Haman is he was the right-hand man to the king. And then he wanted, once he got it, once he made it, once he got the stars on his chest, the stripes on his shoulder, he wanted everybody to recognize it. And he wanted them to bow down just like they did to the king. And when my brother said, no way, I only bow down to the Lord. He said, let's kill these suckers, all of them. Let's kill every one of them. So he goes to the king and he says, King, there's some people that just don't love you like we do. There's some people in your kingdom who don't like you like we do. They don't recognize how amazing you are. They don't recognize how glorious you are. They don't recognize how wise you are. And then the king ate all this stuff up. Be careful when everybody just flatters you like crazy. And so in all of this, the king got puffed up himself and said, yeah. He said, you know what we should do? We should honor you, king. We should honor you. Those who will not bow down, those who talk against you, those who won't follow and worship you like we do, they should die. Shouldn't even be worthy to live. And the king's like, that's a great idea. And so now he's, and that's all the Jewish people who worship the Lord. The king doesn't even recognize he married a Jewish woman. And so now this is all going on. And what is Esther doing? Nothing. Not a thing. She's in the palace. And can I tell you something? I believe this sometimes happens to us, especially in a great nation. Especially if you're living on the good side of the tracks. Especially if you're not in that part of town that you know of. Oh, come on. Your kids go to the good schools. There ain't no gunshots in your community. It's the other community. All right, I'll talk to somebody who understands. I need to go to Chicago. I need to preach this message in Chicago. People would I think I'd have some more amens on this. And so they're living on the good side. So it's not messing with her. So what does her family come and tell her? Be like, honey, you can't hide for this forever. It may miss you in the beginning, but you can guarantee it will hunt you down. And if you don't make a step today, you may save your life for a while, but it's going to catch up with you. So God has placed you in this position. Recognize that you had an advocate. Recognize that you didn't get this just based on your looks. Recognize that you didn't get this based on just your education. Recognize you didn't get in this position based on you alone. Recognize you're in this position because God has a purpose for you. It's with Him you can do all things. So I can see Esther, what can I do? I can't even go to the king unless I'm summoned, or I'll be put to death. And look at his last wife. You know he will do it. She didn't even make him a sandwich, and she died. That is not the truth. That's not why he died, but that's, you know, that's VeggieTales. And so I don't think she died in it. What happened? Banished? I can't remember, but she died. She died. So VeggieTales, you know, churched it up for the kids. But all of a sudden, she's at a place where she recognized her very life could be in danger, breaking protocol. But with one, her family, those who believed God and stood with her, encouraged her to follow the Lord and recognize God is on her life. And so she goes before the king. And the king says to her, you can have up to half my kingdom. Esther, come on in. What you want, Esther? Whatever you want, up to half. Up to half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. Do you know what a lot of Christians would do? A lot of Christians would be like, do you know what? God, this is so your will. I recognize it. Prosperity, Lord. Increase. Yes. Be like, oh, kingy. Oh, husband that I love so much. Give me half. And I want to take all the Jews with me, and we'll be in our own protected place. And I will own half the kingdom. Be like, green beans, tomatoes, potatoes, lamb, ham. Y'all don't know that. We'll play it again. We'll play it again at Thanksgiving. Don't miss our Thanksgiving services. It would be a great one. And so all of a sudden, I mean, she could have took that way out and believed that everything would have been all right. But she knew her purpose. She knew her purpose. She stuck with it. And then Haman, this is what's crazy. She delivered her people. And then Haman, the very device that he tried and was going to destroy the Jewish people with, he ended up dying on it. The very weapon he was instrumental in creating to kill his enemies ended up killing him. Reminds me of another story in the Bible where people came against the children of God. Two armies were coming, and the armies turned against each other and slaughtered each other. All it takes is one rumor, like the east side and the west side coming together to kill downtown. Because there's three parts to our city. I don't know if you know that. East, west, and downtown. There's a north and a south, but nobody pays too much attention to them. It's just the east and the west and downtown. And so it would be like the east and the west coming together to defeat downtown. And then somebody on the west says, you know what? I heard that the east, once we do this, they're going to try to take the capital. And they're going to kick us out. And then the West here, did you hear what they're murmuring about? They are going to try to gyp us, and then them two coming against each other, killing everybody, and downtown just watching pretty as everything falls out in front of them. I'm going to tell you something. Your enemy may have a plan for you, but in the end, God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And what the enemy tried to do to destroy you can turn around and be the very platform for your blessing coming to pass. Oh, my goodness. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, and then we're going to go to Psalms. Why don't y'all go to Psalms 23, and we're going to look at, I'll read to you Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom has appointed heir to all things, by whom also he's made the worlds. Now, the Living Bible puts it this way. Excuse me. The Passion Translation puts it this way. But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of the Son and appointed heirs of everything. Through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. God is the heir. Jesus is the heir. When he died and came back to life, God says, I give my Son all things. And we are heirs to that as well. Can I tell you something? Your business, where you operate, where you go, I don't care if it's at a Fortune 500 company or if it's at Burger King's or the two rich arvels right now. Arch rivals right now, which is Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. They're fighting over the sandwiches. And if you have went to Popeyes, you can repent today and give your life back to Jesus. I'm just kidding. Popeyes is delicious. But we know that Chick-fil-A is God's restaurant. We all know that. Now, so in all of this, there, you know, there may be rivals, there may be whatever, but God has given us the inheritance. And wherever we put our foot is the Lord's. And so we can bring the presence of God with us. The schools, they're not owned by the city or by the state. They may run that right now, but can I tell you something? It is God's. Everything, every Burger King, every McDonald's, even though you wouldn't think that, but every one of them, it is the property of the Lord. And you have right to rule and reign and have dominion in these places. The enemy has to listen to what you're saying. Now, first of all, don't you get so out of your mind that you look at a person as your enemy. Because you'll make a fool of yourself. You'll be wrong and you'll make a fool of yourself. Because then, you know, if I had a problem with, Raj, which I've never had a problem with Raj. But if I had one with him and I came against Raj, let me tell you something, boy. I will put you back in your place. Don't you come up against me. I'll cut you. You don't know me. You know, first of all, you get out in the flesh like that. That's not God to begin with. But Raj is not my enemy. Raj is not my enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Your husband is not your enemy. Your children are not your enemy. Your mother-in-law, your mother, your father, just keep on naming them. They are not your enemy. Amen. That is not who we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, spirits. Hello? That is who our enemy is. And so in this place, I think the church has been silent for too long. But God is coming back for a church more powerful than the one that he left. I believe the changes that are happening in the United States today is based on the church praying. It's the saints getting into their position. It's the saints worshiping like we have never worshiped before. Oh, it's the church quoting the word like we've never quoted before. Standing on God's promises like we've never stood on God's promises before. Why is Hollywood falling? Why are billionaires coming to term with the law? Why? Because the church is saying we will not put up within it anymore. You've been on this too long. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed from heaven. One translation says whatever you'll put up with, God will allow you to put up with it. And whatever you refuse to put up with, God will not allow you to have to put up with it. So when we read the promises of God, we need to get on the inside of us. This is the will of the Lord. Yes. Our children are protected at school.
Yes, they are.
And let me tell you something. This day and age, you go to Walmart, you better believe God for protection. The world, the Bible tells us that it will return to the day of Noah. And the day of Noah, they killed each other, did whatever they wanted, hated each other. It was in bad shape. And it promises us that we're going back to that way. But the children of God has promises that we have to stand on. And I'm going to tell you, as we stand on them, no fear. Fear will not grip your heart. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And when we count on God and we trust Him, fear will have to give way. I'm going to tell you, it may look different for you. And I've told you this time and time again. But for me, when I get to a place I don't understand and fear wants to grip my heart, the only thing I know to do is go before the Lord and tell Him, I trust you. Amen. I have no idea what this looks like, Lord. I have no idea what the outcome is. But I tell you one thing, I trust you to get me to the other side. I will live and not die, and I will proclaim the works of the Lord. I thank you that you're not only my father, but you're the father to my wife, the father to my children, and you will lead them, guide them, direct them, and protect them when I can't be there. I thank you, Father. And then when I am there and they need protecting, Lord, you will give me super Samson strength to take care of whatever the problem may be. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Now, Psalms, y'all found Psalms chapter 23, right? So we're the heirs of this world. When they go to school, they're gods. And they rule and reign in that place. They have favor with teachers. If God has to blind somebody so they can't see them, I'm not saying poke their eyes out, but I'm just saying can't see them. Put up blinders. Then they won't see them. Whatever the Lord has to do to protect our kids and keep us in a good place, I am confident the Lord is able to do it. Yeah. And so we trust Him and put our faith in Him. Psalms 23, very familiar scripture. We most know this. We pray this over ourselves, our family, and our kids. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Not just for a short period of time. Not just because you live on the west side, east side, close to the Capitol, away from the Capitol, on the outskirts, or wherever you live. It's not based on the location. And I think our city is proving in that time and time again, where we are seeing crime creep into every crevice, where used to be safe, where communities that never saw crime all of a sudden are seeing crime. And they weren't that concerned about it because it wasn't their neighborhood and it wasn't their children. Day is the gone of the church just showing up and getting our card punched or feeling good that we came to church on Sunday. Gone is the day of religion having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I don't know if you saw it in the news or read about it, but even in our own city, there are busts that are going on from protecting children, sex trafficking in our city, and there were big busts that's happened. I credit the church with this. I credit pray for this. And some people, when this happens, see, the thing is a lot of times something we begin to pray and we see the change that we're praying for, but we don't like what we see. Because it's almost like leprosy, right? But in the Old Testament, when people had leprosy, they had to hide it and you weren't allowed to see it. But if you ever brought it out into the light, you could see it. Can I tell you something? It's always been there. It's been here. It's been here. Now, why all of a sudden is it being revealed? Because the church is praying. On Monday nights, one of our prayer is that drugs cannot come into our city. That this car theft that's been going on like crazy, we're commanding that it stop. Just this week, one person who stole several vehicles just got busted. Why? Because the church is praying. One of the things that we've been praying is that the cops will be in the right places at the right time. It's almost like they stumble upon it. We're praying, and we have an advocate that goes to the Father. And God is speaking to people. God is leading, guiding to it. But Pastor, what if they don't know the Lord? There were kings that did not know God. And he moved upon them. And his will was done. Don't underestimate your kingdom authority. Don't underestimate why you are here. Don't underestimate why God has placed you where he has placed you. We're meant to take dominion. And then don't look at the news and say, oh, it's getting worse. No, we're getting rid of it. All of a sudden, you're seeing the leprosy that's always been there. God is healing the city. Let me tell you something. In one of our prayer groups, one of our prayer time, I began to pray for our city and prayed something out I never, ever prayed before. That Madison would be a city that fights for the things of God. When I prayed that out, I almost thought, well, that sounds wrong. I'm so thankful somebody else thought that was funny. But I remember when I prayed that, I'm like, Lord, that sounds kind of foolish. But when I begin to pray about it, the more I begin to pray about our city, the more I begin to pray that their destiny was to fight for the things of good. And the enemies come in and cause them to fight for the things that are bad. It just took their purpose and perverted it. They were always meant to be fighters. When you study Madison's history, our hippies during the 60s and 70s were known as the bomber hippies, the angry hippies. The love hippies were out in California. Those, you know, the tie-dye and flowers and dancing through the tulips and all that junk. That was them, the wildflower childs, whatever they called them. They were out in California. Our hippies were the angry hippies. They were the hippies that wanted to fight. Why? Because it was a call of God on their life to stand up for the injustice. What happened is the enemy came in and turned it around. But the good news is God will turn it back to its original purpose. And our city will be known as a city that fights and stands up for the things of God. That will stand up for the weak and the injustice in the world. And one of the reasons why we're seeing some of the things we're seeing is because the church is praying. We're standing in our place. Now, Esther saved her whole people, all of them. The very trap that was set against them turned out to kill the enemy who set themselves up against her and her people. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I love this part. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I want to read this to you out of the Message Parallel Bible here. It says, the afflicted city, storm-battered, unpitied, I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphire. Structure your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stone. I do not want my house to look like that. But you know what? I love what it's saying. We're going to use the most expensive stuff to rebuild your city. I believe Madison's going to be rebuilt in the image of what God has for it. And it's going to be beautiful. But I also believe God is going to rebuild your dreams, your hopes. The stuff that's on the inside of you that the Lord put there. The desires that God gave you that seem to have died and withered away. Get ready for it to look more beautiful than you have ever seen it. Get ready for God to breathe life into something that you thought was dead. Why? Because God said those who did not pity you, those who tried to destroy you, maybe you felt some heat, See, the Bible doesn't say the weapon shall not be formed. That it says it shall not prosper. The weapon is formed. They tried to use the weapon, but it will not have the end result that the enemy wanted it to have, which was your destruction. Now, I love this. All your children will have God for their teachers. What a mentor for your children. Thank you, Lord, that our children have you to teach, lead, guide, and direct them and be their mentors. You'll be built solid, grounded in the righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also created the destroyer. What is the Lord letting us know? Everything in this world was created by him. I like this. I'm trying to remember his name from Louisiana, white hair, Jesse Duplantis. It took me a second. He said all of a sudden, you know, he was communing with the Lord, and the Lord said, just spoke to his spirit and said, I created the devil. And he said that statement came to him and said, wait a minute, Lord, you create, what chance do I have of winning? I remember. I'm missing a part of it. He said the Lord told him, everything the devil knows, I taught him. Everything he knows. Didn't say that, he taught him how to do things. He perverted some stuff. But said, everything the devil knows, I've taught him. And he says, how in the world can I defeat someone that you're the one who gave him everything he knows? He said, I told you, I taught him everything he knows, not everything I know. But God is saying all these were created. All this was created. Now look, that was not their design, and that was not their God's intention. Right. We all have free will. Right. That was not the design and intention that God created them for. He says, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servant can expect. I will see to it that that everything works out for your best. This is God's decree. Oh. We are moving into a place as a church, out of dry lands and into the land of more than enough. We are getting out. See, this is it. The church is going to be more powerful than it was ever thought it could be. The church has sat down and taken things too long because we thought this is the way it has to be. We've listened to lies of separation of church and state. I'm not saying I want to set up a White House and put a pastor in it. What I am saying is I want the church to influence everything it touches and recognizes that we're not here to survive, but we're here to thrive. We're here to protect the weak. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We are here to dominate in a kingdom that God has set to rule and reign. Now see, when the disciples came into a town, what did they say of the disciples? These men have turned the world upside down. The church will be known for that in the world. But can I tell you something? We never turned it upside down. We turned it right side up. They've been living upside down their whole life. They didn't even know how it was supposed to operate. And all of a sudden, the church comes in and preaches freedom. You want to know who hates things being turned upside down? Those who have unjust power and authority who oppress other people. How in the world? Why was the Republican Party even, look, I just said that and I felt this in my, don't you even, I ain't talking about the Republican Party of today. Why was it established? Because there was a group of people who were sick, of injustice in the world. It was actually created in Wisconsin. And what was one of our Republican presidents, and what did he do? One of our first. Abe Lincoln, and he set an injustice that was in the United States for a long time, and he turned it around. It was a group a people who got together and said, we will not go by and allow this injustice to continue. My point in bringing this up is that we can look just like every other place. Hitler was able to get into power because all of us, how do we stop him? How does the average person do anything? How can we rise up against injustice? I'm telling you, I believe the church around the world is rising up to the injustice. And it's going to happen all at once. Across the world, across the nation, we're standing up and saying no more. You don't want God in the schools? You can't keep him out. My kids go there. They bring God with him. Oh, you'd be like, we don't allow politics and God or religion in our workplace. Good. I don't allow religion in my house. I don't put it in my church. I don't put it in my prayers. There ain't no religion in anything I do, but I have a relationship with God, and I will bring the Almighty everywhere I go. It's the church's time to stand up. There's a prophecy, and I'll find it, and I want to read it to you, but it always blesses me every time I hear it. It's about the church shaking itself. The church lie down for too long and allow junk to build up on top of her. And then all of a sudden, light begins to penetrate her body, and she tries to shake herself. And it tells the times that she's failed. She would get up and then she would fall. And then she would get up and she would fall. And then this was the time how they explained it. This was revivals that were squashed out. And it said, but in the end, this was the beauty part of it, that the church would begin to shake herself and light would begin to shine and burn from her. And then all of a sudden, all the junk would fall off of her. And as she stood up strong, she looked like molten lava. And then she just melted and covered the entire earth. And then the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are in the time of the church standing up and saying, no more will we accept. No more will we allow injustice to happen in our cities and in our governments and anywhere in our schools or anywhere else. But we will stand up and be the church that God has created us to be. Right where you are, I want you to ask God, what in this message are you speaking to my heart? I want everybody to participate in this. I know we do this on a regular basis, and I don't want it just to become tradition that we do, but it will become just a part of us speaking and communing with the Lord. God, what are you telling us? Let's just take a moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving upon you right now, bringing up some things I may have said, something I may have not even spoken, but God is speaking to your spirit. Right now, Father, we thank you. I believe many of you have gotten direction from the Lord. But maybe you're in this place and say, I didn't hear anything. I believe God's not done. I believe he'll bring this back up to you. Maybe in a dream, a vision, maybe just throughout the week, maybe your car ride to work or your bike ride. I believe God is going to bring these things up and he'll bring it back to your remembrance and just show you and say, this is what I was trying to get to you. This is what I wanted you to receive.